Chapter 28 Unwoven.
I think this is probably all my fault, said Drusha. I'm sorry.
No, said Eisenhorn. If you hadn't pulled me out of the cage, Sark would have killed me in it, taken control of the loom again, and the thing inside him. It is a greater demon, Drusha, and one not bound and trapped by the King in Yellow's conjurations. It has used Sark as a loophole, a door into our space, freed from the prescriptions of summoning and binding. Sark has unwillingly unleashed a greater and far more immediate threat to Imperial space than the damned King in Yellow. They had reached the clearing. It was an old patch of hill pasture that sloped down to the woods at the base of the valley. Drusha looked back. He couldn't see the demon, but a vast fog of buzzing blackness veiled the sky beyond the nearest trees. A mass swarm, trillions of insects, bathed in filthy light. The ground vibrated. Footsteps, thought Drusha. Giant, scuttling footsteps. In the distance, landslips kicked off by the vibrations thundered down the mountains, raising plumes of dust. Behind them, something in the black fog screamed. A bellow, an exhalation, an exaltation. It boomed out across the Carinines, echoing from peak to peak. A deep, wet, clotted, pulsing howl like the droning note of a giant Eudaric warhorn, but one big enough to swallow the world. Drusha wondered how to face his death. He wondered how a man did that, and if it mattered. He felt like sinking to his knees, but that was just the exhaustion. He doubted there was a protocol for facing death when your death was an abomination the size of a city. He decided to stand and face it, whatever it was going to be. He damn well wasn't going to cry. It had been a good life, really. Hard work, some insane adventures. A few sweet, maddening years somewhere in the middle that he wouldn't have given up for anything. Shouldn't have given up for anything. Max was tugging at his arm.
What?
He asked.
What are you doing?
He shrugged.
Facing death, he replied. What else is there?
She sighed.
Not a lot now, she replied. You see the trouble you get me in, he said. Bet you wish you'd never met me, she said.
Not even once, he replied. The howling came again. Wind rushed across them. The gun cutter rose up behind the trees on the edge of the pasture, jets screaming. Nose down, it swept across the grass, lifting clouds of spinning leaves and stalks into the air. Drusha could see the amber-lit cockpit. Medea, grim-faced, pulling on the controls. The forward ramp was lowering even before she put the big craft down on its heavy undercarriage. They ran up the ramp.
Are you all in?
Medea's voice crackled through the intercabin vox.
Go! Nail yelled. Handholds!
Eisenhorn ordered. They grabbed what they could. Eisenhorn pushed Vorier into an acceleration couch and held him down. Max grabbed an overhead strap, then grabbed Drusha as he staggered past. The gun cutter lifted. The ramp wasn't even shut. Drusha could see the ground dropping away. The pasture. The gun cutter swung, lifting its nose. Everyone lurched the other way. Now Drusha could see evening sky through the still-closing ramp. Acceleration pulled at them hard.
"Strap in," ordered Eisenhorn. "Medea, brace for shockwave in three."
"Shockwave?"
asked Max.
"I can feel it coming," said Eisenhorn. "The fire, you see. It was never put out."
The gun cutter climbed on maximum thrust, racing into the high altitudes of the great peaks. Behind it, in the black fog of the valley, there was a blink, a flash of violet light and jade-green electrical discharge. A 2-kilometer-square patch of the woodland folded into itself and vanished. Then, the shockwave.